Welcome to MLB from CDA Baseball, your home of discussion and analysis of Major League Baseball. This podcast will instantly awe you in the use knowledge of MLB. Hear the latest MLB stats, standings, and news here. James Morris, who is filled with fun knowledge of MLB, is your host and has many guests come on the podcast weekly. Please enjoy this one-of-a-kind podcast. Welcome to MLB from CDA Baseball. I am your host, James Morris, and I know I've missed a while. It's been a long time since I've done a podcast. There's been so many exciting trades, signings, and we're going to talk about, there's been so many, we're probably going to do part 3, part 4, part 5 even, but we're going to talk about the latest one. That is Dansby Swanson. He has officially gone to the Cubs on a pretty big contract, and everyone was thinking that he would go to the Dodgers, but that did not happen. I mean, he batted .277 with 25 home runs, and he looked really good. He has officially gone 7 years, $177 million contract to the Chicago Cubs. And is this a good signing? Absolutely. But Carlos Correa maybe slightly better than Dansby Swanson. He got $360 million. Granted, it was for a few more years. But Dansby Swanson is just slightly worse than Carlos Correa. Carlos Correa got a lot more money than he did. But let's really look at his stats according to Baseball Savant. And he has a hard hit percent of 82, one of the best in baseball. Sprint speed is 79. Outs above average, fielding-wise, 100. That's the best in baseball. And I'm looking at stats right now. Batting .277. 18 stolen bases, 25 home runs, and 96 RBIs. Everything above average except his arm strength. He does not throw the ball very hard. I love what I see through him. Obviously, we know he had a really bad start in 2022. And I don't know. He hits the fastballs really, really well, batting .316 against them. Breaking ball is only .222. And that can play the factor, because if you throw that fastball and then the curveball, he's not going to be ready for it. So Dansby Swanson, a great player and a great add to the Cubs. And let's really dive in onto the Cubs roster. So I remember last year, we really talked about how I thought the Cubs would be really good because they had solid players everywhere. They have also acquired Cody Bellinger. They also acquired Brad Boxberger as well. So and Dansby Swanson. So you got three pretty big name players that are looking to have this next step in there. So Nico Hoerner, a great shortstop, probably going to go to second base. So I don't know what they're going to do with him. He's probably going to bat .300. Kyle Hendricks, one of the best pitchers too. Ian Happ, a great outfielder. Christopher Mell, can that rookie keep it up? You never know. Nick Madrigal, if he's healthy, he can hit for average. He is one of the best pitchers. Marcus Stroman hopefully can have a bounce back year, and see, he has Suzuki. If he stays healthy as well, he can be really good. Patrick Wisdom is there as well. So this roster looks really, really good from the outside, but you never know what actually happens in there, because the Cubs are a team that kind of has big name players, but they never turn out how they want them to be. But Dansby Swanson hopefully take that next leap of faith for them. And I mean, they gave up a lot of money, $177 million to Dansby Swanson, and hoping that they can make the playoffs and at least make second or third place in 2022. I really hope they can do it, because Dansby Swanson is a heck of a good player. And if you look at last year, which was not very good for the Cubs, I mean, they finished 74-88. Their run differential was -74, and it sounds crazy, but one of the difference in run differential is the fielding, and the fielding makes those runs in error, can cost you the game. And Dansby Swanson, one of the best leadoff hitters, one of the best fielders in all of baseball. And if you have that on your team, you will succeed no matter what the cost is. And they gave up a lot of money for it, but I think the cost is right. Dansby Swanson, if you don't make the playoffs, you are a good player, and you will help them go next in the season. The Cubs, if you are a Cubs fan listening to this, Dansby Swanson, you're pretty much guaranteed to, no matter, even if he starts out slow, like he did with the Braves, you're probably going to see him batting .250, .260, .270-ish, hitting 20-some-odd home runs and playing almost every day. So he plays almost every day, so he never really gets hurt, too. I mean, 144 games, 136 games, 127. He played 162 games in 2022. So he's a great player. Really hope he succeeds for the Cubs. And that's about it for the Cubs. I want to make predictions, but I think it's too early. You know me, I cannot do predictions. But the next, I thought maybe we could talk about Carlos Correa, because he has went to a team that is special, but you'll hear right after this. Carlos Correa has officially gone to the Giants for 13 years, $350 million, breaking or surpassing the deal signed by the Mets, 10 years, $340 million, for the most total dollars committed to a shortstop. And is Carlos Correa good? Absolutely. Is he worth $350 million? Not at all. Is he a great player? Yeah, but he's not even close worth the $350 million. He batted .291 with 22 home runs in 2022. Is that great? That is good. But it's not worth that much money. There's no way it's worth $350 million. And the Giants are lucky to have him, because now they got Estrada, they got Correa, Peterson, Haniger. I mean, that's a good lineup. Correa will help the Giants, no doubt about it. But it's just confusing to me, because if you want, he's getting old as well. He's keeping up the hard hit rate, according to Baseball Savant. I really like this website, for the record. His barrel rate, 87%. Whiff percent is 65%. His arm strength, fielding wise, is 72. So the fielding is definitely there. The walk rate is 76%. He had 22 home runs with 64 RBIs last year with 833 OPS, 366 on base percentage, and a 467 slugging. Chase rate can be an issue occasionally, 64, but max exit velocity is a 96. Hard hit rate percent, 74. So what I really like about Carlos Correa, the biggest thing I like, is the barrel rate. I mean, he barrels the ball up every time. It just doesn't seem like he knows where to go with the ball once he connects with it. But he was with the Twins last year. He really did have a good year. I mean, 291 is exceptional, 100%. An all-star, great player. I really don't know how to describe him, because for the Giants, it's, I don't know. I didn't think the Giants wanted to be good. When they tried to get Aaron Judge, they didn't, and said he went to the Yankees. The Giants roster is good, but it's confusing, because they've wanted to be good. They've got these players who no one really thought would be good, and they turned out great, and they're going to really have to rely on Joey Bart, David Viller, Thyro Estrada. But let's really dive into their roster. So you got Brandon Crawford at shortstop. He's probably going to retire one of these days, right? And then Mitch Haniger as well. Wilmer Flores, Tony La Stella, Jock Peterson. They just a newly acquired Ross Stripling. And then obviously you got Carlos Correa in there as well. So what is this team going to do? Can you rely on Carlos Correa? And I think absolutely. But what to expect from Carlos Correa? Around 20 home runs, 60-70 RBI mark. His RBIs was all-time low. I think it's because he's batting leadoff most of the year that year. But the average, you probably won't see a 291 again. His average usually is around the 270-280 mark. You'll see him hit 20 home runs. Probably won't steal that much bases. Sprint speed is 45. His chase rate, his walk rate, pretty good. 10.7 in 2022, or 10.3 in 2022. And he has had better pass years. Hard hit percentage of 44.9 in 2017, but in 2022 it was a 44.7, so just slightly worse. He is 27 years old, so if you're gonna have him for the next 13 years, while he's 27, you never know how that's gonna work out. I mean, he's gonna be 40 years old. Until he's with the Giants. So I really don't know, because I do not see Carlos Correa staying consistent when he's 40 years old, especially having a contract of $350 million. I don't think it's smart at all to actually have someone under contract for that long, because you never know. I mean, for an example, I mean, Joey Votto, the last 3 years he's been horrible, and they're still giving him $20, $30 million a year. Joey Gallo, the Rangers signed him with a big contract, and then they're like, when they realized he wasn't good, they gave him to another team. I mean, there's Cody Bellinger, for one. I mean, you got Miguel Cabrera. You know, I mean, a lot of these players signed big contracts for 10, 13, 14, 15 years, And then they get bad at the end of the year. I mean, that's what you need to expect when you sign a contract. Okay, the last 3 years of this contract are probably not going to be as good. And we're still going to pay him $20 to $30 million a year. Is that worth it to you? Is the war is going to be down the more years he plays, most likely anyway. And if I was a Giants, horrible signing for that much money. You just pretty much gave away $350 million. To me, he's worth about $250 million. Whole $100 million less than I would sign for 13-year, $250 million. I almost want to label Carlos Correa as greedy in a way. He needs to know that he's not worth $350 million. He broke the shortstop like record, and he's not worth that much at all. He's a great player. He's an all star. He has a World Series ring under his belt. The Giants won't have that World Series ring next, so maybe they're hoping Carlos Correa can be that leader and get them into the playoffs. But I just don't see that happening because I'm not a fan of Correa that much. I mean, he's going to barrel the ball, especially without the shift coming on. His average is probably going to be a little higher, but he's getting old. 13 years for the Giants is not good. I think this year it should help him. I think you guys could have a shot at the playoffs this year. I don't know about next year, but then when you're looking at Carlos Correa from 10 years from now, what's going to happen? Is he going to be... Oh, not Carlos Correa's up to the plate again. He batted 222 with 15 home runs. You don't know what's going to happen in 13 years. And I think the Giants just took up a leap with their eyes closed, like 100%. I think they're like... I don't know what they did, but it is what it is. And I guess we'll see how it turns out in 2023. Welcome back. We're going to talk about another big trade, and that is the Texas Rangers have acquired Jacob deGrom. And I like to label the Rangers as overrated. Not the team itself, but the players in their organization. Because they acquire the most overrated players in all of baseball. For one, Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, another one. And I'm not saying Jacob deGrom, the newly acquired Ranger, is overrated. But I'm saying he is not worth... Well, I said this with two. He is not worth... $37 million a year for 5 years, overall $185 million contract for 5 years with the Rangers. They might have got a steal, but I mean, last year, yes, he was coming off an injury. He wasn't as good. Maybe just he didn't try to throw as hard, but he did have post a 3.08 ERA in 2022 with four losses and five wins. The good news is he did strike out 102 batters in 64 innings, but every single year, or I guess... every single outing, the first two, three, four, five innings, immaculate. I mean, giving up no runs, no hits, maybe not even a walk. And then they start to figure out, because he throws fast, he only has that slider, kind of that changeup, and throws the curve like almost never. And he throws gas. I mean, he does not walk that much. He strikes out a ton. The chase rate is 98. The fastball velocity is 99. The fastball spin is 97. And the whiff percentage is 99%. So in the first five innings, he stays impossible to hit. And then the sixth, seventh inning, when you keep on going, it's a lot easier for the hitters because then they realize, okay, he's gonna throw the slider this time. He's going to throw the fastball that time. And he is one of the best pitchers in baseball, no doubt about it in my mind. I think the Rangers should have tried to sign them to a one-year contract because I don't think they're gonna contend this year. I mean, I guess let's go ahead and dive into their roster. So they have one of the, I said this already, but they got an overrated roster. I mean, overrated in my opinion, because they keep on getting overrated players. Jacob deGrom, he might not be overrated, but he's not as good as any people are saying. Andrew Heaney is not overrated, but he's not very good. But overrated, you talk about overrated, you talk about Marcus Semien and Corey Seager. I think Corey Seager is going to have MVP in 2023. But Marcus Semien and Corey Seager do not have good years. They're not even that good of players overall. I mean, people are getting so mad at me right now. I just know it. But Marcus Semien in 2021, he posted like, 43 home runs, 44, 45, 46 home runs. And then this year, he hit like 23 home runs. And you guys signed him to a huge contract, and he's 32 years old already. And you signed Corey Seager to a pretty big contract as well. He had about 245, and he's 28. So next year, I can see Corey Seager being a phenomenal player, but I just don't think you guys keep on signing guys to huge contracts that aren't even that good and don't even usually post very good numbers in Texas for some reason. I mean, Martin Perez started out the year, pitcher started the year really, really well. Brad Miller, a solid hitter, but again, not very good with you guys. And you got three big-name players, that's DeGrom, that is DeGrom, Seager, and Semien. But I just don't know if this will take you guys all the way because I guess let's dive down more into Jacob DeGrom. We know he throws 100 miles an hour, Jacob DeGrom does, obviously, and his slider is 92, 93, his changeup about the same. He needs to locate his changeup more. But his slider, nasty. His fastball, I don't know how your hitters even try to hit that. I mean, he is exit velocity 86 to 85 point mile, 86.5 almost every year. He only got 12, he only had a 9.3 barrel percentage with batters last year, so that's really good. But I guess my issue with this contract is Jacob DeGrom, he was probably the best pitcher in 2021 if he stayed healthy. And he hasn't stayed healthy in a long time. So you're paying him $37 million to maybe stay healthy. I mean, he was out for most of the year last year, and they're paying him a lot of money. And so no matter what happens, you guys are paying him $37 million, injury or no injury. And that's saying a lot. I mean, you have no idea what's going to happen. He's 34 years old. He's still in his prime because he has so much talent. He's amazing. But my issue is that you're paying him a lot of money pretty much to get injured because we know it's going to happen. Well, we probably know it's going to happen at some point in this 2023 season, no matter when it is. But they're trying to limit him to innings. I get that. But overall, I just don't see him staying healthy again. But he is one of the best pitchers in baseball, and he will guarantee help you. And if he can stay healthy, you're probably looking at an ERA below 2.5. You're looking at probably 250, 70 strikeouts too as well. So no doubt about it, he is going to be an ace in every team, but he is definitely going to be an ace for the Rangers. Will the Rangers contend next year? Well, they didn't last year. I mean, let's talk about them a little more, but I don't know. I mean, the Rangers, they were 68 and 94, really bad record, especially for having Marcus Semien and Corey Seager overrated. But Now they have Jacob DeGrom, and his WAR was incredibly high. I believe he was 10. And let's say he does post a 10 WAR. Now you have 78 wins. That's still not playoff contending record right there. And so if you have 78 wins with just one player, I don't know, and he might not even stay healthy. That's not worth it. I think you guys need to get a lot of decent players, underrated players this time, because you have so much potential. You got, I mean, Marcus Semien will hit 20 home runs for you. Corey Seager, I think, will be amazing next year. And then if DeGrom can stay healthy, that's a win. But it's just too much to ask for you guys. And I don't know. It's about all I got to say on DeGrom. If he can stay healthy, you guys probably got the best pitcher in baseball. Will you guys contend? I have no idea. Good luck with that. Well, overall, I have to give this signing a B minus. And then I'll give it a B minus. And now the last one we're going to talk about is the next signing is a Mets pitcher from Japan, and that is Kodai Senga, a 5-year, $75 million contract. And he is a good pitcher. We really don't know too much about him because it's all according to Japanese stats, but he looked really good. I don't have too much stats on him right now, but he has a great off speed. He actually invented his own pitch, and it actually looks really, really good. But in 2022, he had a 2.31 ERA, 11 wins, 6 losses. That cutter, unbelievable for Kodai Senga. He strikes out a lot of batters as well. He struck out 159 batters. He walked a good portion, walking 50 batters in 148 innings. If he can stay healthy, which in the past, that's 2015, 2016, 2017, he got hurt almost every year. He used to be a relief pitcher. He throws fast, 98, 99 miles an hour. For the Mets, Steve Cohen is spending a lot of money as well with the Padres are. But the Steve Cohen is probably spending the most money in this offseason. I really don't know much, but this Mets it's the Mets have spent a lot of money and they really want to be good. Kodai Senga, Justin Verlander, and Max Scherzer are now all on that roster. Chris Bassett now went to the Blue Jays. But wow, Kodai Senga, you're probably looking at, so I'm trying to like follow in how good all the Japanese players have done. You're looking at the Cubs guy, Seiya Suzuki. And you know, in Japanese league, he batted around 300 and got a lot of home runs. And now he batted 245 with almost 20 home runs. So that's quite a bit worse. He did get hurt along that stretch. But to me, I like Kodai Senga because he has a great pitch selection. He just looks comfortable out there. I think you're looking at a 3 ERA next year with the Mets. And I think if you guys can contend, this guy could help you big time as a starter pitcher for you guys. This is a great ad, especially for the contract. I mean, this contract, I mean, that's actually a really good contract. $75 million for 4 years, I think it was. I mean, that's what I like about the Mets. Or they signed him to a good contract. I mean, this is something that the Mets need. They need another, they don't need another better pitcher, but this is something that they need to build upon because they have so much talent on their team. They just keep on building it more and more, and I think pretty soon if they better win a World Series soon because they have so much talent, so much depth in there, and they still haven't won one. But Kodai Senga, Brandon Nimmo, Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, they have spent over $400 million in a month. So good luck with them. You're looking at a solid pitcher who will probably have a 3 ERA, striking out quite a bit of batters as well. But again, can he stay healthy is the big question. Well, thank you for listening to MLB from CDA Baseball. Please share this podcast. Leave a like or anything like that. Thank you.